بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأصلي وأسلم على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن اهتدى بهديه واقتدى بسنته إلى يوم الدين، وبعد. فقد قال جل وعلا في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وقل لعبادي يقولوا التي هي أحسن، إن الشيطان ينزغ بينهم، إن الشيطان كان للإنسان عدوا مبينا، صدق الله العظيم. Respected scholars, ulama, elders, beloved brothers, the topic that I have selected for discussion today is a vital, important, integral topic, especially with the current crisis in the world, and that is mutual peaceful coexistence. On one occasion, one particular imam entered into the masjid, and after entering the masjid, he ascends the pulpit, and looking at his congregants, he said that today I have two things to tell you. I have good news for you and I have bad news for you. The good news I have for you is we now have sufficient funds to complete the masjid project. That is the good news. The bad news I have for you is we have the money, but unfortunately the money is in your pockets. The money is in your pockets. We have the good news. You know, we have sufficient funds, but the money is in your pockets. My brothers, in that same vein, I say this to you. As Muslims, we have that formula to rescue the world from the tribulations and the trials it is experiencing. We have the good news. But the bad news is, unfortunately, we are hoarding the formula. The formula is in my pocket. The formula is in my bookshelf. The formula is in lectures and discourses and on the tongues of orators. If you and I can stand up, if you and I can stand up to the test of time and exhibit the exemplary character and manifest the impeccable character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then I will endeavor in the light of Quran and Hadith, the magnetic impact the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had on the broader world. The riwayat appears in Tabarani. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on one occasion, he exits from the house of one of his honorable consorts, and with him was Sayyidina Ali bin Abi Talib radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. فَأَتَاهُ رَجُلٌ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِهِ كَالْبَدَوِي. Suddenly there was a person mounted on a conveyance. He advances towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He appeared to be a Bedouin. He comes to the Nabi of Allah and he said, "O Muhammad, I have invited my people to Islam. They have accepted my message and I have promised them material prosperity. However, وَقَدْ أَصَابَتْهُمْ سَنَةٌ. By the will of Allah, they have been gripped by famine and drought. فَأَخْشَىٰ أَن يَخْرُجُوا مِنَ الْإِسْلَامِ طَمَعًا كَمَا دَخَلُوا فِيهِ طَمَعًا. I fear it must not happen as a result of famine and drought that they must exit from Islam. They entered into Islam passionately. I'm afraid they must not disperse from Islam very quickly." He said, "O Muhammad, do you have any financial assistance in your possession? Do you have any money in your possession? If you have, can you kindly pass it over to me? Perhaps I could rescue them through monetary aid." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looks at Ali bin Abi Talib. He said, "Oh Ali, do you have anything at hand?" Ali said, "Oh Nabi of Allah, the funds are depleted. We have absolutely nothing." Just then, as the Nabi of Allah is talking to Ali bin Abi Talib, one person appears before the Nabi of Allah. He was of a Jewish background. Nay, he was a Jewish rabbi. The riwayat appears in Tabarani. Zayd ibn Suhna. He comes to the Nabi of Allah and he said, "Oh Muhammad, I see you are in need of financial aid and financial assistance. I can lend you money for a period of time on condition that you pay me back in a form of in the form of dates. Let us stipulate a time." Nabi Ali Salam said, "That's brilliant." They settled on a date. Nabi Ali Salam said, "I will pay you back on a certain date." He said, "We accept it." Zayd ibn Suhna left. Nabi Ali Salam took this money. He gave it to that Bedouin. And he said that, "Take this money, use it, utilize it, and distribute with fairness and equality to those who have reverted to Islam." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam moved on. Time passed. Lengthy incident. Cutting a long story short, one day prior to the date of payment, this Zayd ibn Suhna, this Jewish man, comes and he harshly grabs the garment of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he begins demanding his money. And he says, "You Quraysh, you people have the habit of prolonging payments." He said, "Oh Muhammad, give me my money. Give me my money." He says, "Whilst I was harshly demanding my due from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I happened to glance at Sayyidina Umar, who was standing nearby." He says, "I looked at him, وَعَيْنَاهُ تَدُورَانَ كَالْفَلَقِ الْمُسْتَدِيرِ." He says his eyes had become deadly red and his eyeballs were moving around. And he looked at me and he said, "Ya Aduwallah, Ataqula li Rasulillahi ma asma? Am I hearing correct? Are you speaking in that manner to the Nabi of Allah? Do you know who am I? You are speaking to Nabi Ali Salam in that manner." Bearing in mind, there was still one day left for the Nabi of Allah to settle this debt. Umar looks at this Zayd ibn Suhna and he says, "Do you realize that he's the Nabi of Allah?" And you blurt out to him in that way. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is listening to this. He did not argue the logistics that I have still one day to settle the debt. Nabi alayhi salam called Umar and he said, Umar, listen to me. This is not the way we deal with situations. You should have been more wise in your approach. You should have commanded me to be more prompt in my patience, in discharging what I owe. And you should have told Zayd ibn Suhna to be more lenient when demanding his due. Nabi alayhi salam says, "Umar, you have exacerbated the problem. You have compounded the problem. Now you take this Jew, go and give him his money. Not only give him his money, but give him an added amount because of your harshness." Brothers, you tell me, where is that character today? Umar says, as I was walking, he said, "My blood was gushing. I was upset that a man speaks to my Nabi like that." Zayd ibn Suhna, he looks at Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he said, "Ya Umar, ata'arifuni? Do you know who am I?" Umar radiallahu ta'ala looks at him and he said, "I don't know you and I don't wish to know you. You speak to the Nabi of Allah like that." Can we imagine how the emotions of Umar were put to test? Zayd ibn Suhna says, "Let me tell you, who am I? I am Zayd ibn Suhna and this is where I come from." Umar says, "Are you the Jewish rabbi?" He said, "Yes." "You belong to a fraternity of scholars and you provoke the situation to the point where you harshly demand your money." He said, "Umar, let me tell you one thing. Let me listen carefully. I have studied the biography of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and have closely monitored the movements of Muhammad. I can safely tell you beyond doubt, he is the final messenger of Allah." He said, "Umar, I had reservations in two things.
I had reservations in two qualities. I actually wanted to test those two qualities, which I read in the divine scriptures, that the final prophet that will come, يَسْبِقُ حِلْمُهُ جَهْلًا, that his forbearance will surpass his anger. The more you aggravate him, the more calm he becomes. The more you incite him, the more composed he becomes. He said, Omar, I make you my witness. I am the most influential individuals in Medina. I don't want 1 cent. I tested the forbearance of Muhammad. He has passed with flying colors. I recite the kalima. I don't want 1 cent. I make you my witness. Half my wealth, I give it in charity for Islam. أُشْهِدُكَ أَنَّ شَطْرَةَ مَشَطْرَ مَالِي صَدَقَةً الْإِسْلَامِ. I make you my witness, half my wealth for Islam. My brother, what did it take to convince this man on the beauty of Islam? It was the forbearance and the tolerance of the Nabi of Allah. There are multitudes of examples that elucidate and allude to this particular theory. The next hadith appears in Hakim. One Sahabi comes to the Nabi of Allah. He accepted Islam days before that. He accepted Islam secretly at the hands of another Sahabi. His name was Al-Qama bin Harith. He comes to the Nabi of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam was very impressed at his articulation. He was very profound in his speech, very articulate in his speech. And Nabi alayhi salam was totally impressed. Nabi alayhi salam asked him, where are you from? Where do you hail from and what is your name? He said, my name is Al-Qama. I am the son of Harith. And this is where I hail from. He said, I have accepted Islam. And with me there are 7 men. Every one of them has accepted Islam. Nabi alayhi salam said, it is easier said than done. لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَ فَمَا حَقِيقَةُ إِيمَانِكَ. Every statement has a proof. What is the proof of your Iman and your Islam? Brothers, I always say this. We have created many symbols amongst ourselves, by virtue of which we identify ourselves as Muslims. By way of an example, you take the number 786, which is symbolic to Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So today you find a person, you know, you have a 786 number. You know, and you attribute your identity as a Muslim to the 786 number. You're looking for a number plate, you have 786. How many youngsters are driving cars, 786 numbers? You have that musabbiha, music is blasting, and you have a strange woman next to you. And you say, I maintain an Islamic identity. Allah will not judge you on Qiyamah's Day. Merely having an Islamic identity, having an Islamic phone number. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him. Al-Qama, every statement has a proof. What is the proof that you're a Muslim? He said, we have 15 qualities. Listen to this. He says, we have 15 qualities. 5 we have heard directly from you. 5 we have heard from your messengers. خَمْسٌ أَمَرْتَنَا بِهَا خَمْسٌ أَمَرْتَنَا بِهَا رُسُلُكْ وَخَمْسٌ تَخَلَّفْنَا بِهَا فِي الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. 5 we have heard from you, 5 from your messengers, and 5 qualities we have inherited from our ancestry, from the pre-Islamic era. After hearing us out, if you want us to forsake those qualities, we will give it up. I mean, my brother, the pagan Arab, in the pre-Islamic era, they possess such sublime qualities that even the modern day Muslim do not possess those qualities that the pagan Arabs possessed. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and he said, Al-Qama, what are those 5 things you have heard from me directly? He said, Amartana an nu'mina billah wa malaikati wa kutubi wa rusuli wal qadri khayri. You have commanded us. We should believe in Allah. We should believe in the angels. We should believe in the prophets, in the divine books. And we should believe that good and bad is from the side of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam said, what are the five qualities you have heard from my companions? He said, أَمَرَتْنَا رُسُلُكْ أَن نَشْهَدَ أَن لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Your companions have commanded us that we should testify in the oneness of Allah, in your finality. We should perform salah, we should discharge zakah, and we should go on hajj if we have the means. And then Nabi alayhi salam asked him, listen to this. What are those five qualities that you have inherited from your ancestry? He says the five qualities are, number one, ash-shukru inda raqa, was-sabru inda al-bala, was-sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, war-radha bi-murri al-qada, wa-tarki ash-shamatata bil-musiba, idha hallat bil-a'da. Number one, gratefulness in moments of prosperity. Not pride and arrogance, gratefulness in moments of prosperity. Number two, was sabru inda al-bala, patience in moments of difficulties. Number three, was sidqu fi mawatin al-liqa, when you deal with any person, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, be honest and transparent in your dealings. There is a beautiful incident that is recorded in Bidayah wa Nihaya. Allama ibn Kathir records this incident that Huzaifa bin Yaman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he leaves with his father to make hijrah. His hijrah and his migration coincides with the battle of Badr. As he leaves from Makkah, he is intercepted by Abu Jahl. Abu Jahl at that moment was also mobilizing his people for the battle of Badr. So he apprehends Huzaifa bin Yaman and he tells him, I will not release you. I fear if I release you, you will join the ranks of the Muslims, you will be a source of reinforcement, and you will fight on the side of the Muslims against us. Hence, I will not release you. Lengthy incident. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he pleads for his life. He tells Abu Jahl, listen, I promise you, I will go to Medina, but I give you my word, I will not join the ranks of the Muslims. Somehow Abu Jahl was convinced. He said, if you give me your word, I will release you. Finally, he releases him. Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, as he is walking towards Medina, he comes to the outskirts of Medina. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is marching with his companions towards Badr. He said, oh Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, can I join you? Nabi alayhi salam says, by all means, join us. As they were walking, he taps the Nabi of Allah. And he said, just for the records, just for the records, as I left from Makkah, I was intercepted and apprehended by Abu Jahl. And Abu Jahl said, I will not release you, fearing that you will join the ranks of the Muslims. I told Abu Jahl, just to appease him, just to get out of his clutches, that I will not join the ranks of the Muslims. Oh Muhammad, can I join you? Read the narration. Nabi alayhi salam tells him, Huzaifa, you cannot join us. Who was Abu Jahl? The Fir'aun of this ummah. The man who had caused Nabi alayhi salam so much of grief. What did Nabi alayhi salam tell him? Huzaifa, the verbal contract you had given to Abu Jahl is binding. Just for the record, Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he was the confidant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Because he had given his word to Abu Jahl, he did not enjoy that privilege of being a Badri Sahabi. He did not enjoy that privilege of being a Badri Sahabi. Nabi alayhi salam told him, Huzaifa, because you had given your word to Abu Jahl, your word is binding. Subhanallah. So what did Alqama tell the Nabi of Allah? والصدق في مواطن اللقاء. Honesty in meeting. Today no man honors his words. You give a man your word, honor your word. And number four, وَالرَّضَى بِمُرِّ الْقَضَى. Happiness on the bitter choices of fate. Whatever difficulty comes your way, to persevere, to endure. And number five, وَتَرْكِ الشَّمَاتَةَ بِالْمُصِيبَةَ. Never dare to rejoice on the tragedy of, never mind your enemy, your own brother. You know, brothers, as human beings, we respect the life of every person. The life of a believer is precious. The life of a disbeliever is precious. Nay, the life of humans are precious. Today we speak about animal rights. You need to afford animals their rights. There is an incident that has been recorded. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he walks into a garden and there is a slave who's sitting on the ground and he's feeding a dog. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala looks at this. There was one slice of bread that was left. The slave took that slice of bread. He broke it in two. He gave half to the dog and he ate half. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu was moved. These were individuals who had morality in them. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he approaches the slave. He said, what made you do what you did? You were hungry. You could have eaten that slice of bread. Why did you give half to the dog? What did he say? Istahad aynaya min aynayya ughabinahu. He says, I had literally seen hunger in the eyes of the dog. I could not, for the sake of me, eat that slice of bread, knowing that there is an animal that is looking at me that is hungry. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he looks at the slave. He said, Ghulamu man, who is your master? He said, my master is Abban bin Usman. Who does this garden belong to? It belongs to my master. These were those individuals that had morality in them. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to Abban bin Usman and he said, tell me, is that slave yours? He said, yes. Who does the garden belong to? It belongs to me. I want to purchase both the slave and the garden from you. How much do you want? He said, I want an X amount. Hassan radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he gives him the amount. He comes back to the slave and he said, listen, on the grounds of that act of generosity, I have purchased you from your master and I liberate you. I have purchased this garden and I give it to you as a gift. Who then will not accept Islam, my brother? Who then will not accept Islam? It's time for us to introspect, for us to reflect over the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at our business dealings today. How do we deal with one another? Imam Shafi'i used to say, وَقَدْ مَاتَ قَوْمٌ وَمَا مَاتَتْ مَكَارِمُهُمْ وَعَاشَ قَوْمٌ وَهُمْ فِي النَّاسِ أَمْوَاتُ. He said, some people have physically died, but their character has kept them alive. Some people are physically alive, but the character has killed them before they are physically died. What profound words. Abdullah bin Mubarak, he had a non-Muslim neighbor. Listen to this incident. He had a non-Muslim neighbor. He puts his house on the market. He asked for an exorbitant price. Somebody came to him. How do you justify the price? This is the market value of your house. You are demanding an exorbitant price. He says, let me tell you the reason for that. Half the money is for the house, and half the money is for the privilege of being the neighbor of Abdullah bin Mubarak. When Abdullah bin Mubarak heard the statement, he was totally humbled. He comes to this non-Muslim neighbor and he said, I'm totally impressed at that kind generosity, you know, on your part. How about me inviting you to Islam? How about me inviting you to Islam? He looks at Abdullah bin Mubarak and he said, what can I tell you? Your character impressed me so much that I accepted Islam the day you moved next to me. Your character impressed me so much. I accepted Islam the day you moved next to me. The ayat al-kareemah I had recited before you, famous ayat of the 15 Jews in Surah Bani Israel, when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala addressing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that tell your companions to speak to non-Muslims in a polite manner. What were the circumstances of revelation? The ulama have written that Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, on one occasion, he engaged in a discussion with a non-Muslim and there was a verbal altercation. And Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he raised his voice to the non-Muslim. Allah revealed this verse of the Quran al-Kareem. The ulama have written categorically, Allah exhorts you and I that when you are speaking to a non-Muslim, speak to them in a polite manner. When that is the injunction, when speaking to a non-Muslim, my brother, you tell me, how should you and I be speaking when we are dealing with non-Muslims? You know, Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he's walking in the streets of Medina. As we all very well know, in those days, the Muslims, the non-Muslims, were granted amnesty. They used to pay an indemnity tax by virtue of which they enjoyed freedom of religion, freedom of culture. This non-Muslim is standing in Medina and he's begging. Umar radiallahu ta'ala looked at him and he said, Ma ansafnak, as Muslims we are guilty. We have given this man a raw deal. Qad akhadna minhu al-jizya. In the prime of this man's life, we have taken tax from him. Now he's old. He's standing on the street. Umar radiallahu ta'ala told him, go and sit at home. The state treasury will take care of your needs till the day you die. Will take care of your needs till you die. Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one day he goes to Syria. He's on the Syrian border. He meets one elderly woman. She didn't know this was Umar, Amirul Mu'mineen. So Umar asked her, do you know who is Umar? She says, I don't know him personally, but I make dua that Allah destroys him. So Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he doesn't disclose his identity. So he asked this elderly woman, what prompts you to make a statement like that? How has Umar defaulted? He's sitting as the leader in Medina, in the capital Medina. How should he know what is happening on the ground? This elderly woman tells Umar, she said, as a leader, you need to be abreast with what's happening on the ground. Brothers, I always say this. I personally, you speak to non-Muslims and you ask them, what motivated you? What inspired you to become a Muslim? It's a sad reality. Many of them have said, I am grateful to the Almighty Allah. I was introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. I am grateful to Allah. I was first introduced to Islam before being introduced to Muslims. If my first interaction had to be with Muslims, they say we doubt we would have accepted Islam, but we are grateful to the Almighty that He introduced us to Islam before introducing us to Muslims. That today when we look at Muslims, unfortunately they do not portray the true message of Islam. How sad, yet how painful. Brothers, there's so much more we could have made mention of. This is the question I ask myself and I leave you with. Have we defaulted in our character when it comes to our fellow citizens, fellow human beings, fellow creatures?
Have we done an injustice? Brothers, I always say this. You and I have been sent as ambassadors to this beautiful religion of Islam. If for whatever reason, if you cannot become an ambassador for Islam, for Allah's sake, do not become an obstacle to Islam. We make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah grant us the tawfiq and the ability that we imbibe the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we make dua to the Almighty Allah. Allah make us exemplary Muslims. Wa ma alina illa al-balagh.
Syntax CD Productions, bringing the sounds of Islam to you.